Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Wednesday, March 5th, 2014. Today we had gold. We have gold up $3 currently on the New York spot price at $13.38. We have silver up 2 pennies, $21.26. Platinum was up over 1% today at $14.81, and palladium, that was also over 1%, did a little bit better than platinum at $7.75. The USDX today is trading just a tad lower, 0.02, at 80.12, along with crude oil. Crude oil got hammered today, down 220 at 101.13, which is really no big surprise since the pressures from Ukraine have lightened somewhat, at least temporarily, and we'll have to see where it heads out. We got some reporting to do on that today, but first you have the Dow. You have the Dow down 35 points at 16,360. The NASDAQ was up 6 at 43.57. The S&P basically unchanged from yesterday at 18.73. And the 10-year yield, 2.70.01 to the upside. There was just a mediocre job growth for the month of February. The private sector employers added just 139. That's 139,000 jobs in February, but it was an increase from 127 jobs that were added in January, but they were expecting about 186. And so it did miss the economist's forecast, and certainly that 186,000 was actually the average. So it was certainly, and again, they're going to blame the bad winter weather, especially in mid-month of February. Plus, you know, you only have 28 days in February also, so that does make a little bit of a difference.
Mostly you have only 28 days, but sometimes you have 29.
Yes, Al. This year we had 28.
Yeah, this year 28.
Yes, this year we had 28.
A short February.
Yes. But job growth. So we'll have to see. The government will release the official numbers for job growth and unemployment for February. And
The official numbers?
The official number. The official
when will
lie.
When will they release the true numbers? Any report on that?
You think they'll release the true numbers?
Yeah. I guess that's up to John Williams or somebody like him to release the true numbers. The government will release the official numbers.
The official numbers.
Those are the seasonally adjusted numbers, and they are highly seasoned to make them more palatable to the American people.
Well, I'll tell you what, Mr. Ben Bernanke is certainly enjoying his retirement from the Federal Reserve. He is now making tons of money, going around making speeches, having engagements, and he's commanding as much as $250,000 per speech. And you think he might have something to talk about, being his 8 years at the Federal Reserve. But, you know, someone had mentioned to me that he had made a comment in one of his speeches that he can now tell, you know, the truth and what really happened. And that's really kind of funny because they're never going to tell you the truth. You know, they might throw in a little bit of the truth, a little, just enough to get people to buy their book and to come to their speeches so he can command the $250,000. But that's what you do once you're in politics and you get out. You do the circuit. And
that's where the bribes really pay off.
Yes, and then you become, yeah, he already has a, I thought he had a working engagement at we reported on, I can't recall at this point in time, but
that's one of those things. I don't know. You see the same thing with Al Gore and Bill Clinton. You know, they get out of the office and then they really catch when they really cash in. It's obscene. It's you wince, you laugh, you wince, you wink. You know.
Yep.
But it's just, and it's not just the fault of the politicians. It's the fault of all of us.
Exactly.
Who can't resist the opportunity to go to another freak show. It's like going to the carnival to see the bearded lady or JoJo the dog-faced boy or whatever. You know, if we had more morality in this country, when somebody like Bill Clinton got out of office, he wouldn't be able to get $50 to show up to speak. He'd be speaking on a street corner like a, you know, like an ordinary preacher or whatever, if he wanted any sort of an audience. But we can't resist the temptation to go see the celebrity. And that's so wrong, because we're more fascinated by celebrity than we are by trying to discover what the truth may be.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
Very true.
It's true to some degree. I won't say it's, you know, it's not like it's absolutely true, but it's true a lot, and more so than in my estimation it should be. And it just it doesn't bode well for the country. You know, we're gonna go, if we spend as much time, if Americans spend as much time trying to understand just fundamentals of economics as they spend trying to find out what Miley Cyrus is up to.
Yeah. Well, did you? I don't have a Twitter account, but I was curious one day, and I don't even remember who I typed in, you know, some movie star or something, just to see. I think I checked Charlie Sheen.
Yeah.
And I was absolutely amazed at the number of people that are signed up to follow what these idiots, I'm sorry, what these people will sputter.
Yeah,
no. I mean, millions.
Not only that,
millions.
It's only like 24 words or less. I don't know how many you get to. I don't have Twitter either, so I don't know. But you can only use so many words. All right? What kind of an idea can you communicate in 24 words?
I mean, at least a blog.
Or 50 or whatever it is. You know,
I mean,
grief.
Blogs, you can at least make a point. But Twitter, and then I checked some other ones out, and I just couldn't believe. I mean, we're talking some of these movies. I mean, you're talking 20 million people, 10 million people. It's like, again, it's just another sign of what people are interested in. They're not interested in what's happening around them. They're interested in, they're more interested in other people's lives.
Yeah. In a lot of regards, other people's lives are more interesting than some people's lives. But the problem is, you know, it's just a question of values. How are these people going to survive? in what may be a difficult circumstances. What happens when we can't afford to be frivolous and silly anymore? And life becomes really stressful, challenging. It's going to require a serious change in attitude among people. And how do you get people who are twittering about what Charlie Sheen or Miley Cyrus said? I don't know how they're going to support themselves. I don't know how they're going to get by. And I don't doubt that they can, but they're going to have to adjust. They're going to have to, you know, it will be a brand new world for them. And they're going to be twittering instead of twittering about Charlie Sheen. They're going to be twittering about the guy down the hall who managed to steal a chicken and the chances they may be able to get a piece of the chicken when he cooks it for dinner tonight. The world's strange.
Yes, it is.
And it is sad to say that we aren't simply being oppressed and we aren't being exploited per se. In many regards, we're getting pretty much what we deserve because we've been foolish. We have played the fool, and that's virtually all of us at one point or another in our lives. I was fat, dumb, and happy until about 1983 when I went through a divorce, and that's what turned the lights on for me, and I began to look around and see what was happening. But up until then, if I were the same man today that I had been up until 1983, I would probably have a Twitter account, and I could tell you what Miley Cyrus thought today about the little puppy she saw. You know, I'd be as dumb as the rest of them. But you go through a certain amount of trouble, and it forces you to begin to see and to begin to think, begin to realize, oh my gosh, this is not just Disney World. This is at least a challenging place and a potentially dangerous place. And you've got to keep your eyes open. You've got to see and be prepared for what may be coming. And if you don't do that, if you're going to focus on Twitter, we'll watch and see if people on Twitter will be the first ones to know if there's some sort of an economic collapse or some sort of a serious problem. Think they'll be among the first or among the last?
No. Well, maybe we should open up a Twitter account.
Well, maybe we should.
Have the financial survival Twitter.
You can do that, but what we're talking about is, and some people do, some people I don't doubt, you do use Twitter in a fairly serious way, but if you've got limited words and there's only so much you can do on it, you know, all you can do is send out a quick notice, you know, the burglars are coming in through the north window. So everybody can turn and face north and watch for the burglars. But,
you know, blogs have become very popular to where folks can, you know, express their beliefs and thoughts a forum that you can get followers. But you have to be fairly intelligent to, you know, put your thoughts together and make it interesting and have people come back. So was Twitter developed for those who can't do that?
Mini blogs.
Mini for those.
These are blogs for people with a poor attention span. You got a short attention span. We have a Twitter account for you. If you got a longer attention span, well, we have blogs.
We have blogs.
Yep.
But for those who, I don't know, just a thought. Just a thought.
And we don't want to alienate any of our listeners who have Twitter accounts. We understand.
And it's probably more difficult. Probably it's more difficult to listen to talk radio.
No, I don't think so.
Because you can very easily become distracted. Yeah, you can very easily become distracted. But anyway, we're not here to talk about that. That's interesting as it may be.
Or not. I'm not going to talk about that right now, so what are we going to talk about?
Well, what's in the news is Ukraine.
Yep, Ukraine is there.
And Russia is threatening to retaliate against any steps that the U.S. and its European allies might take to impose sanctions. I guess they did impose some sanctions.
They didn't amount to anything. There
they
isn't going to be
much.
You know, when we talked about this on Monday, I predicted them that this thing was going to be over in about a week, and it'd be done in a week, and it might not even be remembered in 2 weeks. And I expect the 2 week, it'll be remembered longer than 2 weeks, but it's going to be over probably this week. And the reason is that Putin has pulled in his horns. Mm-hmm. He said, well, we're not doing anything with eastern Ukraine, only Crimea, which he has effectively seized. Now, there's still some debate here. It's not a clear seizure. But what it comes down to is Putin says, well, I'm not going to take the Crimea is all we wanted. We just want to protect the Crimea. You know, we have interests there and we have to protect them and yada, yada. And he says that was all we were up to. And we're not going any further. I guarantee what he means is we're not going any further at this time. We've got the Crimea. We're going to hang on to it. It's not a clean. They haven't grabbed it clean where it can be absolutely incorporated into Russia quite yet. But it's the way it's going. They are going to capture it. Nobody's going to do anything about it. There was a bunch of talk about what they were going to do. There was one article here where someone was predicting, this was in the Examiner, Charles Hoskinson, reminds us that one of the possible casualties of the crisis in the Ukraine might be the American access to space. As the crisis in the Ukraine unfolds, it's important to consider just how much leverage President Obama has given Vladimir Putin's Russia, has given Putin's Russia over U.S. policy. The answer is all the way to outer space. And the reason they say this is because the only way we can get our astronauts into outer space right now is by means of the Russian space program. In our infinite wisdom, we terminated our own astronaut program, our rockets for a newly designed spacecraft for taking our astronauts into outer space. And insofar as we've done that, we can't get there except by means of the Russian spacecraft. So if things go south, someone's threatening that they will not allow the Americans to ride in a Russian spacecraft. But it gets more serious. That's a little bit funny on one level. Russia, here's one from Michael Snyder. Russia threatens to abandon the U.S. dollar and start dumping U.S. debt.
And we did talk about this also the other day. But
yeah, we touched on it, but it's coming through. We touched on the possibilities, but Russian officials are promising to respond if economic sanctions are imposed on them. They say they'll abandon the U.S. dollar, start dumping U.S. debt. Now, this didn't come from the Russian government, but from one of their top economic advisors. And what they're talking about is the possibility that if we impose sanctions on Russia, Russia will be unable to pay whatever debt it owes to U.S. banks. And Russia, which only holds $200 billion in U.S. treasuries, doesn't amount to much, but Russia may dump those treasuries on the open market and do that recognizing that the dollar is fragile and the dollar's only basis for perceived value right now is its remaining role as world reserve currency. And Russia, by threatening to dump their $200 billion, which is, again, not much, but also encouraging other nations to do the same, could essentially diminish the amount of U.S. dollars that are being used as the world reserve currency. And as that status is diminished and we have less and less, the dollar becomes, as we have less, the dollar is no longer the only world reserve currency. We see other currencies moving in and to be used in global trade. The dollar loses value. It tends to inflate. It becomes devalued due to inflation and potentially hyperinflation. And the consequences can be serious for the American economy. And what's interesting about this is not that the Russians simply talked about this possibility. We've been talking about the possibility. We've been talking about the problem with the world reserve currency status and the dangers that are attached to it for a couple of years. But Russia's putting it out on the table now, where other nations can look at it and say, we can threaten the government, we can threaten the United States too, by threatening to dump our U.S. treasuries and start a run on the U.S. bank, essentially. It just tells me that we are getting closer and closer to that day when the dollar is not going to be the world reserve currency. And if and when we reach that point, dollar is going to be worth a lot less. Those of you saving your currency in dollars are going to lose your assets. Those who are saving them in gold will be rewarded. We have to stop talking because Frank insists on his opportunity to play the piano. And I'm Alfred Adisk here at Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
A heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Adisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. What's next, Melody?
Just to remind the folks, we got 90% silver. We got lots of 90% silver quarters, 50-cent pieces. They're a great buy. The $5 AU Liberties, they're also a great coin for small fractional pieces. And, of course, they're a great investment. Also, they perform very well. They give you a privacy and protection. So they're dated pre-1933. Folks just need to give us a call at 800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And I did another program earlier today on the Common Sense Coalition, and we got to talking, and I start looking around at some of my competitors and so forth, what they're selling and their pricing. And folks, online buying, my prices are probably 90% of the time lower than what you can find online. Of course, they sell a lot of junk. They sell a lot of, you know, things that I wouldn't buy if I was looking to preserve my wealth. I want to stick with things that are recognizable and acceptable and stick with the basics. Silver Eagles, our prices are lower than what you can find online, but you have to give us a call. And if you don't want to talk to us, that's fine. Just say, I don't want to talk. I just want to buy. We won't talk to you. We'll just take your order. So give us a call. I don't know why you would want to talk to us, but you know, a lot of people don't. They just want to make the order, the trade, and be done. And we can still do that by phone, but you have to give us a call at 800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And one of my pet peeves is the Vicambi bar. I mean, you just got to be kidding me. Why would anybody pay $2,500 for grams of gold that you could crack off? No one knows what it is. I mean, how do you really expect to use that if you had to? You can buy 2 ounces for what you get on the Vicambi bar.
Yeah.
I mean, I just don't get it. I don't see the attraction. I don't see the necessity of it. And the commemorative coins, folks, those are just bullion coins. Would you sell them
and
back?
Not only that, here's the other problem with them is this. The day, if you are preparing for a worst-case scenario and you're concerned that there is going to be some sort of an economic collapse, which is the worst-case scenario, which, again, by definition, is the least likely outcome. The worst case is always the least likely. It could happen, not likely, not super likely to get things get that bad. But if you're concerned about that, the day's going to come when the gold that you're storing up or the silver that you're storing up, you're going to want to be able to go out and trade it for something. Food, ammunition, rifles. I don't know what you're going to want for it, what you're going to want to buy with. Maybe you want to buy a house that's being sold at a giveaway price in the midst of a depression. Well, if you want to use a gold coin, a silver coin to do so, you're going to want that coin in a form that people recognize and understand. You're not going to want to walk in with some sort of a disc with some peculiar writing on it from another country, a shiny metal disc, and say, this is silver. And the average person's going to say, oh, yeah? How do you know? Can you prove that? You're going to have a difficulty moving some of these under worst case scenarios. You're not going to get your full value, if you get any value at all, out of coins or Vicambi bars or whatever that are not labeled, not coined in a way that the average American recognizes. You're going to get that with silver dollar. You're going to get that with gold, with a gold coin. You're not going to get it. These little grams of gold, it's one of the silliest things I've ever heard of. Who is going to, if I hand you a little gram of shiny metal and I tell you it's made out of gold, are you going to believe that? Are you going to automatically believe that 1 gram of shiny metal? How do you know it's not brass, bronze, or something else? You know, it just doesn't make sense. You're paying, one of the things you have to have, you're going to pay for the coinage that that image that's stamped into the face and then the both sides of the coin and the fluting around the edges, and that tells us, all right, yeah, that looks like the real deal. Worst case scenario, that will be an advantage. Worst case scenario, these oddball coins, these little grams of shiny metal, they can work. You know, they won't be absolutely worthless, but they will be more difficult to use. And you'll almost certainly pay a price. Somebody might take them, but they say, I'm not going to give you what you're asking for. I don't think that's a real coin. I don't think it's a real ounce. So I might give you half what it's worth, and maybe you'll take it, maybe you won't take the deal, but you'll have a hard time getting the full value out of your coin. So what else, Naldi?
But, yeah, absolutely. And the commemorative coins, I mean, they don't give you any special but melt value when you go to sell them back. And yet they're charging like over $900 for, you know, a half ounce. I don't even think they're a full ounce, a full half ounce. So, I mean, $1,800, you could buy a really nice mint state coin and you're really getting something.
What do you think the chances are that they are buying bullion coins and melting them down and creating the commemoratives in kind of a private industry? You got a little coin operation in the back room, and you're selling it for making 30-40% profit.
No, the gold commemoratives are a real thing, but the thing that they do is they misrepresent the coin for what it does. To me, they're just nice, pretty bullion coins. I wouldn't pay $900 for a half ounce. If I was going to pay $1,800, I'd be buying a mid-state coin. There's much more value that you get out of that than those commemorative coins. But they're all, and that's the problem with the gold market. So many of these coins, you know, I talk about my opinion coins, the circulated $20 gold pieces, not the five, but the 20s, and only the 20s. And they're just misrepresentative, something that and people think they're getting something that they're not. And that's the problem with the gold industry. And you won't find that here at Discount Gold and Silver. I believe each coin has a purpose and a place in a portfolio. It's our job to help our clients to distinguish between the two and what's best for them and what's suitable for their portfolio and what they're trying to accomplish. Is it someone on a smaller budget that's just looking to purchase something that they might need in the future, or is it someone with that has financial means that are looking to preserve and protect their paper investments? So, I mean, it's a wide range.
You don't have a way of protecting. That's not exactly an accurate statement.
Yes, it is.
Well, maybe I didn't understand you correctly, but are you implying that you can purchase gold or silver in order to protect your paper?
I think you
your paper isn't going to be protected. You can hedge it. If the paper goes down, you still
hedging.
If the paper disappears, you still have the gold and silver.
Still have the gold and
but
silver.
But it doesn't protect the paper. The paper is vulnerable all along. The gold and silver is a way to escape that vulnerability. As with part of your wealth. Part of your wealth, you escape the vulnerability. If you want to keep paper and do that, that's your business. We certainly don't recommend it for a predominant part of your portfolio.
The paper?
Paper.
Oh, absolutely.
Paper. All the paper debtors,
they're
going south.
Absolutely. So if you have to have paper, back it up with gold. Insure it with gold. Ukraine, Al. We were talking about Ukraine before we went into
Ukraine. Yeah, well, there's some implications here that are larger than the Ukraine itself. Again, Putin has pulled in his horns, more or less, and he said, we're just going to let things sit as they are, which means he's pretty much grabbed the Crimea, and he's going to leave the eastern Ukraine alone. They're not going there now. They may go there, 6 months from now, a year from now, but not now. And when they do, the West will sit back and wring their hands and, other than that, do nothing. But there are other implications in this face-off, just this brief face-off with Russia over the Ukraine. And one of them is that Russia knows the perceived value of the U.S. fiat dollar depends on being able to retain its status as world reserve currency. There was a time when the dollar was backed by gold and silver, and then the dollar was only backed domestically by silver, and then the remaining part of it was backed internationally by gold until 1971, and that terminated. And then it was backed by petroleum by means of the petrodollar and some schemes devised under the Nixon administration starting about 1971 that lasted through about 2000 when Saddam Hussein started selling Iraqi crude for euros rather than dollars. The dollar right now is not really backed by petroleum. It's not backed by gold. It's not backed by silver. The only thing that's really been holding it together is the U.S. military and our threat to be able to go into a oil-producing nation as we invaded Iraq and give them a dose of shock and awe and literally crush them. Only it turns out we couldn't. We didn't. We failed to do that in Iraq. That's no longer a credible threat. The military is being downsized, no longer a credible threat to the same degree it was prior to 2003. What's left? It's the government. It's the dollars holding the status of world reserve currency that creates a perceived value in the fiat dollar. You take an intrinsically worthless piece of paper, and it still has a perceived value because people need it to engage in foreign trade. And people around the world use it. As that world reserve currency status is compromised, as more nations begin to trade in currencies other than the dollar, then the dollar's perceived value will diminish. It won't collapse. It won't happen overnight or anything like that, but it will be diminished. And Russia understands that, and therefore Russia knows that it can bully the U.S. government by threatening to further reduce the dollar's status as U.S. world reserve currency. And that's exactly what they've done. They said, look, if you pull these stunts and you try to impose any economic sanctions on us, we're going to encourage people to dump their dollars. And this is important because China has said that they're standing with Russia relative to the Ukraine. In theory, in a worst-case scenario, China might go along with Russia and start dumping U.S. treasuries, at which point the value of the dollar on the international market is going to drop significantly, and it will ultimately drop significantly here in this country. And a lot of people are going to be hurt by that. Now, Russia's threats are evidence that the theory, and we've been explaining this for 4 or 5 years, the theory, the dollar's relationship to its status as world reserve currency, we talk about it from time to time, the theory is valid. Russia is validating that theory in a public way. We can talk about it, and we have talked about it, and you wonder, well, maybe it's right, maybe it's wrong, maybe it's just some conspiracy theory. No, Russia was threatening to use this to cause the United States to do what it wanted, and that's evidence that the theory is valid. Russia's expressed threats will encourage other nations to make similar threats. If that happens, the U.S. government will be unable to respond with anything more than increased inflation of the fiat dollar. All of this only serves to confirm that the fiat dollar's days are numbered. As world reserve currency, U.S. dollar and U.S. government were able to exert enormous control over the world. As the U.S. dollar loses its status as a world reserve currency, the world will be able to exert enormous influence over the U.S. government. And get this, you fasten yourself, you got a leash. You tie one end around your dog, you tie another end around your arm. For a while, you get to pull the dog. When the dog grows up, the dog gets to pull you. The leash pulls in two directions, and so does world reserve currency. By linking ourselves to the world with the dollar as world reserve currency, we've also linked the world to us. The same avenue of power that we were able to exert against the world for at least 30 years has now become a means by which the world can exert power against us. There's a certain inevitability in power relationships. What goes around comes around. We pulled on the dog when it was a puppy. Now the dog is big and we are weak and the dog can pull on us. As a practical matter, the dollar status as world reserve currency is becoming more of a liability to the United States as an asset. I don't doubt that it's still an enormous asset to the United States, but it is increasingly becoming a kind of liability. We are in circumstances where any government in the world right now, knowing that we are vulnerable, can threaten to precipitate an assault on on the dollar status as world reserve currency, and thereby threaten to put this nation into a period of serious inflation, maybe hyperinflation, and maybe collapse the economy. And the government is probably going to succumb to those threats. They can't take a chance. We're in this domino environment where, who knows? Some silly little nation is going to make one of these threats, and if the government doesn't do what they say, our government doesn't do what they say, they may be just the ones to make us lose that status as world reserve currency. As a result, thanks to having advanced the world reserve currency status, we were able to bully the world for 30 years. Now the world is able to bully us. There's not too much we can do to get out of this other than just abandon the dollar. Just flat out admit it. We can't play the game anymore. Now, no one's going to do this, But until we separate ourselves, any nation that has a significant chunk of our debt will be able to bully us. All you have to do is say, oh, we're going to sell your debt on the open market. And if we do, your dollar is going to collapse in value. And we're going to be run by these people. We're going to be influenced, controlled, manipulated to our detriment. And the only way out is that I'm able to see is just cut away from the world reserve currency status. It'll cause trouble. It'll cause big trouble, but then we start building our way back up. We start rebuilding the nation to where we have a currency, a new currency, that has real value. I'm Alfred Addis here on Financial Survival with Melody Cedarstrom. Be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. What's next, Melody?
Did you want to talk a little bit about Rand Paul?
Sure, we can talk about Rand. Headline from the Washington Times, Rand Paul seeks Kentucky law to run for president, Senate at same time. That's the headline. Opening a door to hedge his political bets, Senator Rand Paul has asked the leader of Kentucky Senate for legislation to ensure that Mr. Paul can run both for the White House and for re-election to the U.S. Senate in 2016. Yes, I'm working on clarifying an ambiguous state law that Rand Paul believes is unconstitutional if it is interpreted to bar running for re-election to the Senate and for the president at the same time. That was according to the Kentucky Senate Majority Leader. And what we're just saying is Mr. Paul, you know, he wants to make sure if he runs for president and he loses, he still gets to be a senator. Well, I'm not impressed by his argument. I'm not impressed by what strikes me as a lack of courage. Is he really going to put his full strength into running for president, as long as he knows that if he loses the White House, he'll still be a senator? No, he can pretty much bet he'll be reelected as senator if he runs in Kentucky. So he's safe. And then he can kick back and he can go play golf. He doesn't have to actually run for the presidency all that hard because he's sure to win the Senate. If he wins, White House, fine. If he doesn't, that's okay, too. Where I'm going with this, if you can run for two offices at the same time, why not run for three? Why not run for 10 or 20? Why not put your name in the hat for every elective office in your state? And if you do, which you get to choose between whichever. Suppose I was running for the president, the Senate, the Congress, and the local dog catcher and, you know, six different county commissioner and who knows how many others. If I were popular enough, I might win two, three, four of those offices. Now what? I get to pick. I can only hold one. I get to pick which one I want. Let's see. Do I want to be a congressman or a senator or a president or vice president? What do I want to be here? And I get to pick. And the others, what happens to the other ones that I won? Who wins that office? Who now holds that office? Do we have a second election? Do we award the office to whoever comes in second place behind me? The whole thing is disrespectful to the American people, the idea, look, I want to cover my bets. Look, if you want to run for president, run for president. Put your heart, put your mind, put your back into it, and work 20 hours a day to see if you can get yourself elected. And if you can, good, and if you can't, well, good try. But for me, this business of running for two different offices to make sure you win at least one, It's unfair to the American people, and it doesn't strike me as a hallmark of courage on the part of the politician, of any politician who tries that strategy. What do you think, Melody? Can we run for two offices or 10 offices or however many?
Well, as I mentioned, I don't think he's the only one who's done that. It's happened previously, and you're right. I mean, make a commitment. I mean, to me, it's telling you that you're not going to win, so I need to have that backup. You know, I'm running for the presidential office, but I know I can't win, so I'll have something to fall back on. So who can take you seriously?
Yeah, it's like dating three or four women at the same time.
And,
you know, I might want to marry one of them, but if she doesn't pan it, well, then I'll take the other one or maybe the third one or the fourth one. I'm going to tell you, this is, you start dating three or four women at the same time, you are headed for some interesting times. One way or another, this may sound like a great idea, but it's not going to work. You're going to be made to regret your notion. It's the same thing with public office.
Proceed
one public office at a time, and if you win it, fine. If you don't, take your lumps. Move on.
Speaking of politicians, Rick Perry in Texas, and this program is broadcast, of course, in Dallas, and he's going to be leaving. His name, the primary, Tuesday is primary day in Texas, and his name won't be on the ballot. And so...
he's had enough then, huh?
He's saying he's had enough. Knowing when to leave is a real gift. And so he actually became governor, I guess, in the year 2000. And so do you think he's going to rerun for the...
No, I don't think so. If he says he's leaving, he's leaving. I don't doubt it.
Do you think he'll run for the president?
No.
Presidential inauguration?
No. I don't think so. He might try it, but... You know, he didn't impress me. I've lived down here in Texas. He didn't impress me when he ran for the presidency the last time. He doesn't seem to have the brains for it. You know, he doesn't. He got beat us the last time. And
look what we have in there. I mean, come on.
Oh, I understand. No, but the truth of the matter is Obama was a great orator.
They all are. The ones who
No, Perry's not.
No, he isn't.
Neither is Obama legitimately, but as long as you have Obama in a teleprompter, he had a certain image that appealed to people. And one thing, you know, his style exceeded his substance by quite a bit, but style was enough to get him elected. Perry also has a lot of style, but He's not. I just don't see this guy. He's not going to succeed another time. So what's next, Melody? Are you going to sign up for the Perry campaign? I'm down here in Texas. I can probably put your name in the hat and tell Rick that we've got somebody up in Pennsylvania that's rooting for him.
No. You don't,
all right, I'll let that go.
You don't have to do that, but,
all right.
You know.
Here's one from U.S. scores poorly in retirement rankings. This is from Market Watch, which is a Wall Street Journal publication. It's hardly a ranking to celebrate, even the United States, even as the United States stands among the top two in overall medal count in Sochi, Russia. It barely cracks the top 20 nations when it comes to retirement security. This is according to Natexis, global asset management, a Paris and Boston-based company, and with $830 billion under management. Among the countries that the United States trails, top ranked Switzerland, second ranked Norway, as well as Australia, New Zealand, Canada, and South Korea. They go on, and they have a list down here. They talk about this more, and they have a list. Number one, for retirement security, Switzerland. Two, Norway. Three, Australia. Four, Sweden. Australia, number five. Denmark, Germany, Finland, New Zealand, Luxembourg, Iceland, Belgium, the Netherlands, Canada, France, Czech Republic, South Korea, United Kingdom, and number 19 is United States, and number 20 is Israel. That's interesting to me. It's interesting on the first point. It means that our retirement, our pensions, our retirement programs are the least secure. Well, not the least secure, but they rank number 19 in the world. There are a lot of countries that are worse than us. There are some countries that are better than us. 19 is nothing to brag about. But what particularly interests me is the three bottom countries on the list of 20, and that's all they have here, are United Kingdom, Great Britain, of course, United States, number 19, and Israel, 20. What do they have in common, Melody?
You tell me.
They've been involved in war after war after war. We have been, the United Kingdom and the United States and Israel have been, to significant degree, involved in war in the Middle East for the last, 10, 12 years. And so I look at this and I see United Kingdom, United States, and Israel are at the bottom of the 20. They're 18, 19, and 20 out of this. I'm wondering, is there a correlation? Does it necessarily follow that if you live in a nation that is interested in exerting its power offshore in foreign countries, and particularly in military escapades, does it necessarily follow that we fight now, and perhaps by doing so we compromise the probability that the government will be able to make good on its pensions and retirement programs later? Do you think there's any point to that, Melody, or is it just coincidence that United Kingdom, United States, and Israel are down at the bottom of the list?
Well, I mean, it certainly is costly. And, I mean, we're bankrupt as it is, so to find us in those areas really isn't surprising. I think what's surprising is a lot of those countries listed there have declined from their 2013 rankings. Norway and Switzerland in the 1 and 2 position, they just switched spots. But it certainly shows the conditions of the country. And, you know, when you continue to spend, not only just in wars, but in everything, the programs that we have, we're bankrupt. We can't continue. And it does affect, I mean, look at the conditions of our cities, Detroit, Chicago.
Yep.
I mean, those are the most obvious ones. But the list goes on and on and on.
And it's getting longer. It may not be publicized in mainstream media, but the list is increasing. It's getting longer. We may not be hearing about it unless you happen to live in a city that's suffering these kinds of problems. But is this a price we pay for playing the world's policeman? And I think there's a good chance that it is. You know, we spend more money on the military than all the rest of the nations of the world combined. We have, up until we're now in the process of cutting back. But we've spent more than all the rest of the nations on Earth combined. But you can't spend that without the money we spend on the military, we necessarily can't spend somewhere else. And what has been taking the loss, absorbing the loss? We've taken money away from something to spend on the military. What do you suppose it is? It may very well be it's retirement programs. And part of the you can see that reports that the money that people have paid into Social Security over the years has been used by the federal government just as if it were a regular tax. And what they've done is they've simply deposited promises to pay, bonds, essentially, with the Social Security Administration. They reportedly have filing cabinet after filing cabinet after filing cabinet filled with these bonds where the government is promising to repay the money that it borrowed from Social Security. But that money's gone. And how is it going to come back? And where did it go? A lot of it went into the military. And the day is coming when a bunch of people are going to sit back and say, gee, I think, thank goodness for Social Security. And they're going to find out, Social Security might not be functioning. It may be that we shot up your Social Security account over in Iraq or Afghanistan. Huh? It may have been depleted, badly depleted. And what are we going to do now? The reason I bring this up, the fundamental reason I bring this up, this ranking of the United States, number 19 out of the 20 on the top 20 for retirement security. It's simply a way of saying, look, your retirement's not all that secure, folks. You can't just automatically count on the idea that one of these days you can walk up to Social Security and say, hi, my name is Ralph, and I'd like my money. And they're going to say, whoa, sure, Ralph, here it is. Maybe not. Strong probability, you will probably get your money out of your pension fund. You will probably get your money out of Social Security. But it's not anything like it's a guaranteed certainty. And what that does, again, it says, maybe it's up to you to do whatever is necessary to try to provide for your own retirement. Maybe it's not wise to count on Social Security and other pension programs to take care of your retirement years. Maybe you need to hedge that bet. I think it seems wise. It seems like the prudent thing to do. And if you agree with that, how are you going to hedge? Gold and silver. It's almost certainly the best choice you can make. I don't doubt there will be specific stocks and other investment opportunities, specific, very specific. If you can identify them, you may do very well. But as a generic investment, you're going to have a hard time beating precious metals. And maybe that's what you want as backup for your retirement. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. We're out of time. We'll be back tomorrow. Hope you'll tune in at that time. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? But still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me.